So there's this popular quote that I think most people are probably familiar with, at least the first part of this quote, but the rest of it is also really surprisingly irrelevant for our subject matter this morning. The first part of the quote, it says, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure." That we've probably heard. But the rest of it goes, it says, "It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God," it says. We are all meant to shine as children do. This is something I think we have to kind of have to perpetually remind ourselves, tell ourselves as we grow and mature in the Christian life. Christian maturity really is not what we might think with Jesus. As Jesus reminds us, we have to enter the kingdom of God like a child. And Jesus really helps us show us what real growth, real Christian maturity looks like in his life, in his stories, and in the Gospels. We see this made clear in a number of ways. So our childlike faith scripture this week is from the Gospel of Matthew, from chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. "Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.' As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fish for people.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two older brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people." So there's this cell phone ringtone that I used to have on my phone a few years ago. It's this mosquito tone. It's not really a mosquito, but it's this really high-pitched tone. And actually, this pitch of the ringtone, it's actually too high for people over like 25 years old to hear. It's just too high for that. And so, you know, I can't hear it anymore. So it's not my, it's maybe should be my ringtone. That'd be maybe better for me. But at certain tones, certain ages have trouble hearing it. And this mosquito tone was actually first developed in England to irritate teenagers who were loitering around convenience stores and keeping customers away by their loud, obnoxious behavior. But then some kid, one of the obnoxious ones for sure, figured out how to make it into this cell phone ringtone. I mean, now they can text back and forth in class, and no adults can hear what's happening. Because at certain ages, some of these tones we have trouble hearing. So I want to annoy us just a little bit and test it out and play these for you. So this first one is actually, if you're 50-ish, and younger, you should be able to hear it. But Noel said he could hear it, and he's over the 50. So who knows? Okay, but just prepared. It's super annoying and high-pitched. Anyway, so here's the first one. Would you raise your hand if you can hear that? Okay. So some people could hear that. All right, here's the second one, which I cannot hear. I was trying to put it on the computer, and I was like, this is broken. This is not working. And my daughter, meanwhile, was hearing this. Anyway, so here's the second one. Raise your hand if you can hear it. I can hear nothing. Okay. Thank you. It's crazy. Thank you, kids. I'm glad we have some kids here so who can hear that. Spiritually speaking, for any one of us, really, any one of us, our God hearing can get a little tired, a little worn out too, if we're being honest. And so regardless of our age, regardless, Jesus says to us, come like little children. And truly, some of the oldest, some of the wisest saints of the church really have some of the youngest hearts that I've seen. There is a kind of humility. There's a kind of humility that makes it possible for us to hear well and listen well to God's calling us. There's this spirit of life and adventure that we really do not want to lose. I think that about every kid growing up, most kids, I think, me included, have some experience at some point of being Superman for a good portion of childhood. You know, you just got to find the good towels in the back of the closet that mom is trying to hide. It's got to be the good ones. And you tie one around your neck and then let it drape in back. And then you got yourself a cape. And then if you're anything like me as a child, you'd be jumping off of things a bit higher and a bit higher, you know, trying to see where that line is where you might just not break your leg trying to fly. And it's entertainment then for hours. That's all it took, a towel around the neck, and we were Superman. We could fly. And then one day, at some point, we realize, I can't fly. And we took off the cape, and it was just a towel again. And slowly that wild, that dangerous, adventurous voice calling within us starts to get a little quieter, a little quieter. Not because we wanted it to. It's not like the voice stopped speaking. I think everything else just got a little bit louder. Life can start to get in the way, and the world is noisy. And slowly, it can be harder and harder to hear that still, small voice of God. In our scripture passage today, we hear the voice of Jesus. The voice of Jesus is calling out to these yet-to-be disciples. Come, follow me, he says. And in my reading of this scripture, I sense no indication that any of these men resist this voice of Jesus calling. He's calling for them to drop everything, their work, their life as they know it. And they heard him. They follow him. Jesus comes to Simon, Peter, and Andrew, who were on the boat. He says, come and follow me. And Matthew says that immediately they left their nets and followed him. And they went on and again came upon two fishermen, James and John, and he calls, come and follow me. And again, the scripture says that immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Immediately, it says, they went. They have no idea where they will go, what they will do. If anything, it seems like a good, responsible answer to Jesus here asking us to come and follow him might be, well, where are you going? Where are you going, Jesus? But they heard the voice of Jesus calling, and they dropped everything to follow. This is really not the responsible adult thing to do, is it? to drop everything. I mean, we can't just have people going around abandoning their responsibilities, all the worldly expectations of us in the name of Jesus, can we? There's a certain way where we're supposed to behave as adults, you know, thank you very much. It sounds a little scary, irresponsible, really. Yet come, follow me, Jesus calls, nonetheless. So having two young kids growing up at home really for me is an adventure all the time. And I can't tell you how many times that I've had to scramble to save one of them, to go and stop either of my kids as they've been about to run happily and unknowingly into a completely dangerous situation. When they're little, it is straight for the edge of the pool every time. Straight for the edge of the pool. They are fearless. Fear comes a little later. But at first they are ready to jump, running wildly, always with reckless abandon, straight for the adventure. And we start to learn that fear part a little later on. And we gotta weigh the cost. We're afraid. There's plenty to be afraid of. And so we become overly cautious, calculating, responsible adults, settling for some second best version of life. And we call it maturity. And we call it growing up. But Jesus is calling us beyond our caution, beyond our carefulness, beyond our fear. He's calling us out beyond the world's expectations of us and into fullness of life with him, calling us to come and follow him. Jesus said, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He's saying whoever can really abandon life really will live life to the fullest. The Christian life is really one of reckless abandon. True growth and maturity in the life of faith is jumping in to follow Jesus. Not just once, but again and again, losing our life for the life of Christ. A daily turning away from the world's expectations. Saying goodbye to the values and the ways of the world and turning instead to the ways, the values of Christ, stepping into his life for us, making our way toward the one who has been calling us to follow. And really, it is in him that a full abundance of life is found. The storyteller Bill Harley told a story on the radio about his son's first year playing t-ball. And he was excited to watch him play, but he told mostly of a little girl on the other team that they played named Tracy, who ran with a limp and couldn't hit the ball at all, couldn't hit the ball to save her life. Sometimes she would hit the tee after about 10 or 11 swings. She'd hit the tee, and then the ball would fall off, you know, on the ground 6 or 7 inches in front of the tee, and then everyone would yell, run, run, and I hear that one. And everyone would yell, run. And Tracy would lope off to first, smiling from ear to ear. And everyone cheered, even though someone would always tag her out before she got to first. In the last game of the season, Tracy came up to bat, and through some fluke, or simply on the law of averages, that she was really about sometime bound to hit the ball sometime. And the last game, she did. She creamed it. She hit it and smoked it right up in the middle through the legs of 17 players all the way into the outfield. And there are never any outfielders in t-ball. I mean, there are at the very beginning of the game, but about 2 minutes in, they're into the infield, you know, where the action is. And Tracy hit the ball, and she stood there at home plate, delighted. And her coach yelled, "Run, run, Tracy." And all the parents from both teams were on their feet and screaming, "Run, Tracy, run." And so she started her way to first. All the kids were scrambling still, and so the coach waved her on past first base and all the way past second base, and by the time she was heading to third base, the players on the other team were just finally getting the ball in their possession to get it infield. And everyone was screaming still, yelling, "Tracy, go, Tracy, get a home run." And by then, she could hear the parents well enough to get the message to run home. And as Tracy started to run home, then it happened. During all of the craziness, nobody had noticed this 12-year-old geriatric dog that had lazily settled itself down in front of the bleachers about 5 feet from the third base line. As Tracy rounded third, the dog, who was awakened by all the screaming, sat up and wagged its tail at Tracy as she headed down the line. And Tracy stopped there, halfway home, 30 feet from her first legitimate home run. She looked at the dog. Her coach was yelling. The crowd was cheering. She looked at her parents and the adults all screaming. She looked at the dog, and everything went to slow motion, and she went for the dog. And there was a moment of this complete stunned silence. And then perhaps not as loud, but deeper, more heartfelt, they all applauded as Tracy fell to her knees to hug the dog. Two roads diverged on a third base line, and Tracy went for the dog. Two roads diverged in this little girl's life. One, the road of rules, of expectations. The other, the road of love. For our lives, it is much the same. Will we go the safe, the predictable way of life, living neatly into the world's expectations of us? Or will we step faithfully toward the one we love, Jesus, who loves and calls us to come and follow with wild abandon? Jesus is calling us beyond our fear into faithfulness, into life abundant, calling us even now and always to come and follow. Amen.